Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gufic Biosciences Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star key followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Shetty, Assistant Company Secretary at Gufic Biosciences Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to Gufic Biosciences Limited earnings conference call for the third quarter of financial year 2025-26. We have with us today for the call Mr. Pranav Choksi, CEO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Devkinandan Roongta, CFO, and Mr. Avik Das from Investor Relations team to give the highlights of the business and financial performance of the company and to take questions, if any. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements which are projections or estimates about future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectations about future performance of the company. These estimates involve a number of risks and uncertainties that would cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. Gufic does not undertake any obligation to publicly update any forward-looking statements, whether because of new confirmation, future events, or otherwise. I hope you have received the investor presentation that we have posted on our website. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Avik for sharing the business highlights. Over to you, Avik.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining. I'll start with a brief update on what progressed across our business units where execution is tightening. Before Pranav takes you through the divisional performance trajectory and Indore ramp-up. So across the domestic branded portfolio, the focus remains consistent, which is drive protocol-led depth, improve mix through science-backed differentiation, and scale through repeatable execution rather than only through launches. So first, on our hospital injectable platform, execution remains hospital-first and account depth-driven. In critical care, we continue to concentrate on protocol-heavy segments of sepsis and other resistant infections and invasive fungal diseases where the adoption translates into repeat ordering. Over the period, we progressed evidence-led positioning and hospital adoption for some of our advanced molecules, including thymosin alpha-1, which is immunocin alpha in sepsis-adjacent immune dysfunction, and dalbavancin, our brand Dalbavan for resistant gram-positive infections, and isavuconazole, where we have a brand called Isavufic in complex fungal infections. The emphasis remains on increasing molecule class share within existing ICU accounts and scaling through corporate chain and tertiary hospital penetration. In Sparsh, we tightened the operating engine. We brought in a lot of distribution control and collection discipline and conversion inside hospitals while continuing to build differentiation through formats like dual-chamber bags. The next category triggers in Sparsh will be contrast media and the total parenteral nutrition range, which we will be launching. The progress to expand wallet share within existing accounts is also progressing well. Now, on our women's health platform, it's been a shift towards prescription-led engine with deeper life cycle coverage. In Ferticare, the strategy remains centered on reproductive immunology and increasing share of cycle in IVF. Core brands continue to compound very well. Guficin Alpha in recurrent implantation failure alongside PureGraf and CetroCare. And we progressed pipeline work on super pure urinary FSH to expand the stimulation opportunity with high purity and yet very cost-efficient propositions. In Zenova, the execution cadence improved, and our power brands continue to anchor growth which is BD1 and Stretchnil. With fertility adjacency building through Fertiforce, the pipeline remains focused on the larger women's health therapy pools of endometriosis, PCOS, and menopause. This will help us widen our long-term prescriber relevance. Now, coming to the toxin platform, here we are building a high lifetime value franchise through capability creation and structured market development. In Aesthaderm, we continue scaling Stunox, which is our botulinum toxin type A, while building the capability bridge to a broader aesthetic platform. Injector creation and chain clinic readiness and Indian clinical data generation is something that we focused on to support premium adoption. In neurocare, the progress remains very methodical, which is expanding the therapeutic toxin coverage just beyond neurology into urology, ophthalmology, pain, and neurosurgery. And of course, anchored on indications where adoption is guideline and guideline-driven and long duration. Coming to our Nutra Ayurveda platform, where we are sharpening our focus into a chronic care platform, we continued strengthening differentiated pain propositions such as the upgraded Guficann oil while building on the GI opportunity with Vonoprazan, where we have a brand called Vonsa as a prescription-led growth lever. Now I'll give you all a quick highlight of our international business, where we are moving towards an IP-controlled, complex, injectable-led market access model. During the period, we saw regulatory progress in regulated and priority semi-regulated markets, including colistimethate approval in Germany and regulatory continuity actions for pantoprazole injection in Portugal and vancomycin injection in Lithuania. We expanded registrations in Myanmar across a basket including pantoprazole, azithromycin, and fertility hormones, and strengthened the quality gateway through Unit 2 GMP approval in Oman, which opens up the lucrative Middle East market for us. Finally, on Indore, the ramp-up continues in a stepwise, compliance-first manner with disciplined tech transfer and scaling aligned to our audit readiness. Pranav will address the Indore ramp-up curve and how the divisional execution has translated into our overall performance trajectory. Now over to Roonghta sir for the overall quarter numbers.
Thank you, Avik. I will going to give a financial highlight for Q3 of financial year 25-26 versus Q2 of financial year 25-26. I am not able to compare the Q3 of 25-26 versus Q3 of 24-25 because the Indore plant was capitalized during the last week of December 2024. So I am making a comparison of Q3 versus Q2 of financial year 25-26. The turnover for Q3 is 231.1 crores compared to Q2 of 230.4 crores. The EBITDA for Q3 is 37.1 crores compared to Q2 of 37.5 crores. The EBITDA margin for Q3 is 16.05% compared to Q2 of 16.45%. The profit before PAT margin, PAT before tax for Q3 is 21.1 crore compared to Q2 of 20.5 crore. The PAT margin is 9.13 in Q3 compared to 98.90 in Q2. The profit before tax is 15.6 crore in Q2 compared to 14.9 crore in Q2. The PAT margin is 6.75% in Q3 compared to 6.47% in Q2. Thank you.
So shall we go ahead and proceed with the Q&A session?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Nitya Shah from Kamaya Kya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yes. So hi team. Just wanted to, you know, understand some more that, you know, the ramp up as was discussed in the last call that, you know, Q3 and Q4 will see a disproportionate rise as, you know, more of regulatory approvals come in and exports pick up. But the numbers are saying otherwise, that there are many segments, many interesting developments going on. But we are seeing growth of only, you know, 11 to 12% on a year-on-year basis, and even quarter-on-quarter it's flat. So any color that is this due to some critical price erosion or what is the scenario here?
Yeah, hi Nitya, Pranav, yeah. So yeah, so if you recall the call of Q2, we already had got Mr. Rajesh call for Sparsh, and in critical care also, if you remember, we were directly billing to the hospitals and we were in the process of revamping our operations, a part of critical care and also Sparsh, from going from, you know, direct hospital supply to, you know, taking it back as a stock is, because a lot of our working capital was getting affected in the long cycle. So as last quarter also, we took a hit of around, I think, 5-6 crores. This quarter also, we have taken a hit of 14 to 16 crores. And if you remember, the debtors at a turnover of 800 crores was around 320 crores last year, approximately. And this year, our target is also with the jump from 800 to whatever we end up, 900 plus, or maybe 920, 930, whatever. So that way also, we want to bring the debtors sub 300. So when in July, Mr. Rajesh call came in, we did a reti of the market that which are the primary, secondary or tertiary hospitals where, what is the reason that this, you know, money is not coming? Is it stock or is it just cycles or is it some other evaluation? So there has been a you know, comprehensive approach which started in, of course, Q2, where the impact was only 5-6 CR. This quarter has been 14 to 16. As per our estimates in Q4, it might be between 3 to 5 CR more. But that is where we have taken a hit once to get that product out and get the debtors in control. Because it should not happen that the expiry of the product also gives and the hospital still refuse to pay because they are ready to keep the stock at our expense. So, and at the same time, we saw an uptrend in exports and we saw an uptrend in Ferticare as well as in the other segments. So, you know, and now Indore is also ramping up. So we don't want to compromise the ramp up of Indore in terms of the backing capital by just in the Indian market still give those freebies without any recourse. And, you know, and that's the reason that this consciously has been done this year. Because like I started the call in Q1 or Q2 also, the 320 over 800 was quite not digestible, neither for the CFO, not for me. And, you know, it would not be a good sign in the market also. So that is how this is the thing which we have done. Majority has been finished, like I said, 5-6 last quarter and 14 to 16 this quarter. Next quarter, even with that 3 to 5, we are still looking at, you know, that improvements to come in. Other things start kicking in, even without the GLP uptake. We look at some positivity. Yeah.
Okay, is there any like price erosion in the critical segment or have the prices stabilized?
No, no. If you see, the gross margins are not a concern. If you see, that's not a concern. Thank you. On the contrary, the Astrion and Avibactam, which was supposed to be launched, will be launching hopefully by this quarter on maybe Q1 thing. So that will also add in the margin. So erosion, I think that the worst has failed, you know, the APIs and all that is done. So I don't think that's the process. At the same time, even in fertility, the price is quite stable. On the contrary, even taking this hit back, the exports have compensated. So yeah, that's why you see the gross margins not getting affected.
Yeah. Right, right. Understood. So what is your outlook for FY27? Say that once you move onwards from, say, 30% capacity utilization, are we looking to see a 20% plus kind of growth number in FY27? Because, you know, it's been a very large capacity expansion. So when will we start seeing like a tangible payoff? I understand after the debtors have been, you know, sorted out. But when are we seeing a larger growth come in FY27? What is your expectation on that?
So I would still stick to that if, you know, from an 800 odd number, 800, 810 last month to maybe, last year, to maybe whatever 920 plus this year. Yes, definitely a minimum of 15% is what we look for next year. So like I said, it's a mandate given by the CFO and myself to the team that whatever has to be done, we want to migrate to that stockist billing as soon as possible and don't go for that, you know, I would say stretched working capital. So I don't think the impact of that, Sparsh and critical care would stretch on beyond this year. So 15%, bare minimum is what we target for 27.
Understood. And on the regulatory side, is there any updates you'd like to give in terms of...
So there has been, our EU audit has been completed in the month of December and that went well. So we hope, like I mentioned, that the certificate should come by March or April. So we already are investing and so we hope that the business as we are committing, if you see the earlier slide also, I think Abhik must have presented in the presentation. We look at Q2, max Q3 for uplift of EU markets at least from Indore. In the meanwhile, there have been certain other contracts for Indore, which hopefully also should start paying off. So that is a possibility, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. All the best.
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Pal from MSA. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may go ahead.
Yes. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So a lot of my questions have been answered, but wanted to understand. So you explained the domestic business and you explained the international business. We were also expecting some uptick in our CMO business this quarter and going towards next quarter. So how is that panning out to be?
So if I don't go for the correction, we are still looking against a 200 crores, almost a 20% jump Q1Q if we remove this 14 to 16 CR, what I'm trying to say. So definitely the Indore is, because as you all know, Navsari is chock-a-block and saturated. So Indore is getting the offtake. There have been some GLP-1s validation batches also we have taken. Apart from the audit, there have been other clients also who have come in. So that is happening. So if you, let's say I'll give you some sort of a numbers. Whatever exposure was around maybe 20 to 25 crores total output from Indore per quarter, that has at least gone to around 36 to 38. So that's a positive sign and we hope that should go to close to 40, 42. I'm saying this includes not only the external numbers but our internal production also. So these are all positive signs from Indore which will help us to, you know, take that uplift. And this is even without the exports kicking in and this is without it. So all this is coming is because of our internal and CMO only.
Understood. And in terms of the cost base, right? So employee benefit expenses has been going up quarter on quarter for the last four quarters. Today it's at 40 odd crores. How much of this would be because of the one-time labor cost, and how much would it be due to organic?
I think Rungta sir will be a better person to answer that, and maybe I'll key in terms of output later. Rungta sir, you want to talk about the employee expense and then I'll come in terms of the output also.
Basically, if you want to see the other expenses, no, it also includes the R&D and validation expenses, and at least for 2 years, 1.5 to 2 years, these expenses are going to be in part of recurring expenses because Enroll required lot of validation batches.
No, sir, my question is employee benefit expenses, not other expenses.
Okay. Employee benefit expenses today is around 40 crore per quarter. It will go to 160 crore rupees per year. Next year, another pocket, you can see a hike of around 7% annual increment. The number is now seen. It's only annual increment which has to be given to the employees. So it may turn from 160 to 175.
Understood. And this is a standard now cost base. We can, 40 is the largest quarterly expenses that
all,
we can expect.
Almost all recruitment has been completed. There is no fresh recruitment, and the increase will going to come an annual increment to the employees. This may increase from 160 to 175.
Understood. Kind of the question on productivity. So how are we looking at ECTM?
There have been some six high profile appointments also this year, as you must have read. You know, so apart from getting Dr. Sure. Raj Shekhar for the international business, then ramping up his team for international business, and that's why you see the international business going from almost 120 to, you know, on a higher side to going to around, so almost the majority of the growth, almost of around 60 to 70 crores, is coming from the international business, which is based up around 120. I'm talking about the formulation exports, not the API exports. Similarly, sure. For Rajiv Agarwal for infertility, and then Rajesh Kaul for Sparsh, at the same time Vijay Kumar for Galderma, from Galderma, of course, for Stunnox. And at the same time also, we also have ramped up, like what Roonghta sir rightly explained. If you see Indore, which was an average of around 350 people on an average, and of course, I'm saying post the capitalization was out. So let's take the January to March quarter, which is a full quarter where there was no capitalization. There, the 350 has gone to a rightly peak of around 480, 500, which is what Roonghta sir rightly said, where we need to take care of all our requirements in Indore. So even though the output on productivity has gone only from, I would say, 25, 26 to around 38 to 42, the employees are full-fledged now. Now, even if I want to get my sales increase from 40 to beyond, we are almost at the peak, except for the yearly increments which would come in terms of Indore. And of course, for Navsari and for field force, as you rightly said, the average increment would come to 6%-7%, assuming, of course, the attrition. And the average, that would normally 6%-7% is what we foresee from year to year, from now on.
Understood. Understood. Just last question before you come back in the queue. So you answered to the previous participant that we are looking at a 15-odd% on the bare minimum for coming in FY 2027-2028. Year FY 2027, year FY 2028. Now, the question is that because a lot of things are happening, we've got GLP-1, a lot of our CMO customers moving from Navsari to Indore, and fingers crossed we get our EU cGMP earlier than expected or as expected maybe by FY 2026. And you said that by Q2 or Q3, the revenues from the international business from Indore should start materializing. So what is keeping us on the fence to say that not 20% but 15%? Is there anything that we should be aware of?
No. So I again say that, one thing we have realized that as you try to go on the international front, the working capital is the most crucial thing, and that is something has become a little bit more sacrosanct in the organization right now. So even though this year we could, get those numbers, we have been very disciplined about it. So I don't want to, have one more year where I commit something and I don't deliver. So at least what we give is what we should deliver. And of course, there are of course many other moving parts which are positive. But if that comes anyway, that's always a positive sign. You will never question me for that. So I always feel that when you say putting me on the block, 15% is high time we give you bare minimum. And whatever goes beyond, we all should be, we'll take it at that time and be happy on what let's decide at that time. Yeah.
Understood. Understood. And on the CMO front, so last quarter when we were discussing, you said that 50% of the client, of the 12, 14 major clients had moved to Navsari and, oh, sorry, Indore from Navsari. And we are also introducing a couple of new vial products within them. The question is that, and you also mentioned that Q3 might not be that big of a quarter. Q4, we can expect a good quarter. So if you can shed some light on that, how to look at it, because at a 925 crore, what will be the CMO percentage, CMO revenue percentage?
Absolutely. So if you see, when I mean 50% of my, so we have a unit one, which is the hormone and the other general facility, which is the legacy facility. Then we have a pen and block. Then we have a unit two at Navsari. These are the three major units, apart from, of course, the botulinum toxin. So the unit two, which is EU, Brazil, Canada, and all these other accreditations are there. That is, out of that, 50% clients have all moved to Indore because we had to get the capacity free for our export orders to be taken care of. So even right now, the order book which we have is more than around 150 to 155 crores at any time which we are running with, which is really high. I want to bring that order book down to at least 80, 90 crores, and it's something, it's almost like a 90-day window, which I want to bring it down to 60-day window. So that is the main purpose. So that definitely will happen in Indore from the unit two. And that is where we feel that this will take on. Now, more interestingly, we also have got certain projects for GLP-1 in Indore also, apart from what we had in Navsari. So little bit, because of those validation batches and because of almost that went for almost 33 for one of the big pharmas, they have gone for a little bit bohemian approach to GLP-1 from Indore, apart from the normal conventional liquid product. So that is where our facility also a little low, because we see a big upside happening there also. That validation batches also are now getting done. I mean, it got done in January, and we are seeing the testing everything in February. Little bit of that December and January also went in that validation batches of the GLP-1 from Indore for those things where we feel, you know, when you go for any validation or anything, almost your entire equipment is blocked for 3 days or 4 days where normally it should be only for 1.5 days. Those are the two factors I feel should also take it more, and we also are pushing more and more of our clients. We hope that by March or maximum by June, at least, you know, the now remaining 75%-80%, remaining 50% may say be 75%-80% also move through. We become a little bit decluttered because Navsari's orders from U.K. and Germany, sorry, U.K., Portugal and Brazil and all that are also ramping up. We hope that that positivity we can pass it on in terms of numbers.
Understood. Understood. No, wishing you all the very best. I have a couple of more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Vishal Mehta from Oaklane Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. You may proceed, sir.
Pranav, I just had one question on the botoxin toxin piece of our business. We've been working on it, developing it for, you know, almost 3 to 5 years now. What is the current size of that business, and how does it compare to, you know, the last couple of years? How has it grown? With the team expanding, how do you see the growth in this segment for the next, say, maybe 2, 3 years? Also, if you could just highlight what is our capacity here in terms of sales potential and if there is any potential in terms of exports for this product.
Yeah. If you see the total botulinum toxin market in India is around $20 to $25 million, both for therapeutic and aesthetics. We are approximately at 23% of the market share right now in terms of IQVIA, which is there. We are around 25 to 30 crores right now, which is the total market share, which includes our aesthetics, our therapeutics, and of course our government supply also. Now, this has of course evolved from 2021-22, where the actual launch, first the aesthetic division was launched, and then in 2022, the therapeutic division was launched. And we grow on an average around, I mean, this year, of course, it was around 22 to 25%. But last 2 years, it has been 30% and 40% because the base is very low. Now, this, I foresee for it to grow in this thing. Luckily, with the team coming in the month of February of Mr. Vijay, Dr. Jha, and Dr. Jyotija and the entire team, a little bit there also we have a little bit upgraded our selling talent. So there also we have taken some teams from Galderma and Toxin, which brings a lot of credibility. The perception what was earlier, you know, it's an Indian toxin. Now you have multinational team members endorsing it. We have now clinical trials also now published. At least one published, the second one being published by the end of this month in February. So those are bringing. Today also, I'm right now in Navsari just attending the call because we had some doctors visiting in terms of a scientific presentation discussion on botulinum toxin. So we hope that this is a more of an educative thing and it's more of a scientific thing, which will of course gather pace in terms of 20-25%. There might be a hockey stick which might come for the entire country and when the entire category gets expanded, and we hope that we are in the first few to take it up. More importantly, what we lack, I'll tell you, what we lack right now is that, you know, right now, doctors, when they endorse our toxin, they said, do you have an incomplete, but you don't have a filler. So when they go to a Galderma or for an Allergan, they have a toxin, they have a filler. And as in combination, they feel if I stop buying an X something, I have to keep everyone happy. So I get only some part of the shelf. With our agreement with the Canadian company, which has been signed, of course, it has been signed now, so I can officially say that right now. So with that coming in, we should be hoping to get that product launched by June, July. Now with that product coming in, there will be no excuse that why a doctor should not endorse a product. Because we have we have a product of fillers which is number 2 or number 3 in US, which has a total revenue of more than $110 million, you know, and we can backpack on that along with our toxin, and it can be a good, I would say, complementary basket. And then that also helps us to get a little bit more market share. So even without the filler, we are able to get the 23% market share in a market where, of course, Allergan is almost like a 50% dominant market. So we hope we can take more share from them in the years to come. And more importantly, the category expansion to come. So that will help us to take it to the Indian market. Coming to the international market, very frankly, let us first, I mean, my views are for the next 2-3 years, let us focus on revamping the Indore, getting the I would say, domestic market taken care of, have a robust system in place for both aesthetics and therapeutics, and get the fillers also in place. And then maybe from next year end, once the indoor is fully ramped up, maybe in 27-28, start thinking for toxin for the international market. There have been opportunities, but we would like to keep it in the future.
Great. Sorry, in terms of sales potential, in terms of capacity expansion, would not be a challenge in this segment,
I missed the question about the capacity. So the capacity is, right now I sell almost around 20,000 vials per month. My capacity can be even 10 lakhs, 15 lakhs also. That's not a problem. So right now with 20,000 per month, these are the revenues what we have, 25 to 30 CR. So that's not a bottleneck for botulinum toxin. Even, and as you know, it's a product which we have our own strain. So we are not dependent on any third party also for APIs or toxin or something. Everything is made in.
Great. That's very encouraging. And also one small question on the margin side. We've given a 15% top line bare minimum growth guidance. What is it that we look at in terms of margin trajectory with Indore ramping up? How do you see that panning out over the next 2-3 years?
Can I request Roonghta sir to take this question? It will be more precise. Yeah.
So if you see the present EBITDA margin is around 16%. After 2-3 years, when the capacity utilization of Indore will rise more than 50%, we expect the margin again, EBITDA margin will be raised from 16% to 19%, and once the utilization reached more than 75%, the EBITDA margin may touch between 20-21%.
Great. Thank you so much and all the best for your future.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Girish Shah from Glowstar LLP. Please go ahead. Rahul, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Yeah, my question is already answered. The same question I was going to ask about the margin part. Because this quarter, what I could see is that with the same, almost we are nearing 30% utilization as Indore. And still, margin is compressed to 16. Because it was earlier mentioned that Indore with which, it will get EBITDA positive or EBITDA accretive at 30% utilization. So is there any fixed cost is the only thing which is dragging the market, or the OPEX has slightly increased this year? That was my question.
Basically, today only because of the fixed cost, today the EBITDA margin we are expecting at the break-even in the Q4 of financial year 25-26. And in 27, we are expecting it will, end of the 27, we are expecting that interest and depreciation will also be absorbed by the Indore. And after 27, it will start giving cash margin and as well as profit margin.
Are we expecting Indore to reach 50% utilization in FY27 by end of FY27?
By end of, you can expect in Q4 of 26-27, the utilization may touch to 50%, but not as an average of whole year.
So that's great. And one more, the last question, if I can add it to, when is the UK MHRA planned? Because it was originally planned for Q1. Is there any definitive date available there?
You're talking about Indore, right, sir?
Yeah.
So Indore actually audit has happened in the first week of December from EU, Portugal. And if that goes through, then UK also accept the same in terms of harmonization. So that audit has been done in the first week of December 2025. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the Q2 or Q3, you said the orders and other things will start kicking on, which was hindering the growth, right? The export growth.
Yeah, so the export revenue from Indore will start kicking in for the Europe and the regulated markets from Q3, Q4, because we also have a Saudi audit also in April. In the meanwhile, there are some basic registrations like Southeast Asian and the other markets where the export already has started from Q4 26, and it will continue going for, like, Africa, Southeast Asia should has already started from this Jan 2026.
Okay. You can update something about Selvex, if the new investment you've done and the progress over there, if you can just give a little bit more.
So I think it's a very far thing, but just to share with you, as you know, this is a cancer vaccine therapy for solid tumors. They had a very good remission rate of more than 68-70%. Maybe more, I think Avik will be more precise with the numbers. And right now they are plasmid and their gene is already ramped up. They also are now in the process of getting it outsourced to Syngene to get their final construct ready. For that, there was a requirement from all investors to pitch in something, and that's why we also felt that we should be part of the story, because we have 100% India rights and we have also rights for the some part of Europe also. So this is a thing which I still am totally, I believe we must have invested close to $150,000 till now in the last 4-5 years. It's something very long term, but I have a lot of hope and expectations. Let's see when it comes. It's very far-fetched. It'll still take 5-6 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's like investing in a startup sort of thing.
Yeah, more than startup with a good clinical background and good clinical data, at least on an animal level. So it's not completely proof of concept. It's proof of concept with some animal data. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may go ahead.
Yeah, just two questions. First, just want to understand that when we started the direct-to-hospital approach, we thought we would get some kind of understanding of the patterns, etc. And now we're rolling it back. So what exactly, issues did we face that, we're trying to roll it back, I think?
If you see, during Sparsh and some part of primary care and critical care, we wanted to go through the primary and secondary nursing homes apart from the tertiary thing, because we always thought that the tertiary nursing homes, the big guns of the Indian hospital industry, they normally pay in 150, 180 days, but there we have distributors. So when we thought that there will be a better margin improvement and there will be more penetrative data where the margins will improve. So the margins, of course, did improve, but the problem was when the margins improve at the cost of a payment coming after almost 150 days or 180 days, where earlier we were a little bit, shielded by the distributor who used to pay us in 30 to 45 days. But now that thing happened in the last 2 years. And that's how from August and September, we started changing this. Now, instead of, the main thing was the database. I'll come to the database. So what we tried last year, we knew this could not carry on. So from, October, November 2024, I believe we also started requesting all our stockists to install Marg. So Marg is a particular software in India where the sales from a stockist to the primary, secondary or tertiary home can be, checked and at what rate is checked. So that took us almost 8 to 10 months to convince the stockists that when we are installing this Marg patch or this data, none of their IP data will come to us. It's only that we will get data related to Goofix. So that implementation took time, started in November, and it eventually got done by September 2025. And at that time, once we knew that now the Marg data is good enough, we thought this transition makes sense, because at least we can still keep a control where our products are going. And then we started this call that once now the Marg data is in place, let's start getting, a little bit more strict about those hospitals which are eventually, laggards and not paying us on time, at the same time stretching our working capital. So yes, of course, with this, there will be a hit of around some X percentage more. But that, when I compare it with the working capital and the interest cost, it, I think, almost, makes no difference. So this is what we took a call in August, September 2025.
Okay, understood. Just one more question. I think in your presentation, you've spoken about, in Astrodom, you've spoken about the global in-licensing, and I'm assuming that the same you refer to the Canadian brand. So is this any kind of tech transfer, or is it a pure licensing deal? Can you just, throw some light on that, and what potential does it have?
It's a pure licensing thing. The total fillers market in India is around 200 to 230 crores. The toxin market is around close to, around 120 to 140 crores, depending on the exchange rate and all that. So we feel that the fillers also, once coming in, we can, also play around. And more than the fillers, they have a good product in the pipeline in terms of PDRNs and those other conjugates, which are the new age thing. So fillers are now, but the future products are going to be PDRN and exosomes. And also they have some unique medical devices which help us for administration of certain specific aesthetic products also. So it's a good collaboration. Plus they also have two big training centers in UK as well as in Canada, where a lot of new age development of combination treatment of fillers along with GLP-1s and also other things are coming in. So that also going to add value to us. So this is what we feel it's a good mix for us.
Okay, understood. Just the last question, if I can squeeze in. I think you spoke about a previous question about Sparsh that we this quarter took a hit of, let's say, 15-20%, and if you take it on the higher side, that's on a few basis, that's still you know, 5-6% growth. So is there something more to it? Because you know, we were of the idea that Q3 will show some a decent ramp up considering tech transfers have started and then Indore, sorry, Navsari will be free for some exports. So can you just clarify that?
I didn't understand your question. So you're saying that that 14-16 impact was there. I mean, I can you repeat your question again? Sorry, I missed it. Maybe no. I didn't understand.
No, no. So I'm just trying to understand that even if we take the if the 20 crore write-off or the issue that we have and consider that that was considered as a revenue, that's still 5-6% growth on our previous quarter, and we were of the idea that Q3 will be and we were of the idea Q3 will be quite better considering the spec transfers happened and then Navsari is also free for exports. So just wanted to clarify.
No, I'll explain. So if you see, I got your question. So if you see, Navsari's revenue are mostly saturated at the 800 mark. And of course, you know, the normal domestic growth which comes, it comes. So the additional, if you see the entire growth which has been coming in is because of the Indore ramping up coming in. So the expectation of doing 10% or 15% on 230 is not what the statement I gave. But yes, definitely I gave that we would be coming close to that, 250 mark. So if you see last year in the same period with Indore starting in October 2024, from October to December, we had done, I believe, 200 or 205 crores. From there, the revenue year would be almost at a 20% jump. But yes, Q&Q, I don't foresee that drastic jump coming in of 10-15% Q&Q. But definitely, like I said, overall as a business, 15-20% is what we are foreseeing because regulations take time. Validation batches are still ongoing. Also, there have been a correction of in terms of debtors control this year. So that's why overall, as a package, we feel that this year will be a little affected. Next year, again, I think someone pushed me to answer that. I said, yes, minimum 15% what we should look for. But yes, hopefully with other positives kicking in, 20% is what we should aim for or more. But I think 15% is basically what I give. But like you said, there are erosions coming in. There might be environmental factors. There might be something else. You don't know how the GLP landscape will also come in. So in terms of my word, I'm trying to be a little bit conservative and try to achieve first and then talk more.
Got it. And this the audit that happened, that's the same as EU GMP, right? Is the understanding correct?
EU GMP, it was from Portugal, yes. EU GMP, yes.
And that allows us all across Europe.
Colombia, South Africa, UK, everything, yeah. Which is same thing as outside.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you so much. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Aditya Pal from MSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you again for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to get the numbers of our SBUs and how they've performed YOY and QOQ, and then you can also maybe segregate how the domestic branded business performed.
Sorry. Can you repeat that, brother? I just missed it because of the network issue.
Sorry. So what I'm requesting is that if you can tell us how the SBUs have performed, that is domestic branded business, international, API, CMO, and then you can double click on the domestic branded business as well, how each sub SBU has performed in the DBB.
Okay, so coming to the primary divisions, of course, domestic business this year, because of this ramp down, because of these two major divisions of Sparsh and critical care, we will be growing only at around around 8% plus or minus. I'll send you an exact number hopefully in the next call, but I look at it, I think it's around 8%. The CMO business is more or less the same, because most of the capacity which we are trying to use for the export division. Export division is growing by almost 40%, but the base is less of around 120. That's where that thing is there. API is, like I say, most of the APIs which we make are for in-house things. Okay. So this is where the entire thing is there. After coming now to a deep down of all our domestic business, then, you know, the critical care and the Sparsh, we'll see mostly like a stagnant year this year. Or maybe, you know, because of all these, I think almost 14 plus 5, 19 plus, maybe 3 more, a 22 crore, I would say, correction would be there this year. Totally, I'm saying, even including Q4. So at the end of the Q4, we would be a little bit more on the same level as last year, but of course with a better data profile. Infertility has increased by around 16 to 17%. Botulin toxin has increased by almost 20 to 25%, but the base is small. And our aesthetics, our Ayurveda and mass marketing has grown by around 12%. So this is the broad percentage.
No, this is very helpful. This is very helpful. Thank you so much. And on your strategy of Criticare and Sparsh, the domestic brand business. So if I were to look at your debtor days, and how much would it impact the working capital, how it would impact the working capital cycle, and how much would the working capital cycle fall by?
There are two reasons why we have to be a little bit more cautious in critical care and Sparsh. Firstly, the procurement of the RM, the testing of the RM, because these are sterile materials. The start, I mean, the entire working capital starts from there. So the, you know, the RM testing, the RM procurement, then the lyophilization process is around 5 to 10 days depending on the product. Then there's a 15-day sterility. Then there's a transit.
I understand the inventory cycle and everything, but because we are tweaking the...
You're saying only for the debtors, you're asking?
Yeah, only for the debtors, because I just want to understand how will it impact the net working capital. Inventory and all remains the same.
Yeah. No, agree. So, so right now, because the number of validation batches are increasing in... So, I mean, let me answer. I think we are, with the help of the cash flow coming in, there's a lot of cash flow required for ramping up Indore in terms of the new products like Daptomycin and others. So for that, we don't want to go for debt, and we want to go for our in-house, what do you call, cash generation only. And that's how we are doing that. And taking it.
Debtor days, as in, because we are revamping our entire strategy of Criticare and Sparsh, because we are not giving them so much receivable days, and we want to get our money faster. That is what I've understood from the call. So I just want to understand. We were at close to, say, in FY 25, we used to get money in 140 days.
I think this question is better for Roomta sir and Avik than me, but I'll keep trying to answer.
So Aditya, as you understand, the overall the number, the question was only the these receivables, sticky receivables in Sparsh and critical care, and that's the number that he is given. So if you take that number and you find the number of days, we'll get your answer. So overall, the other businesses, the it sort of remains the same. And going forward...
Last year, our average debtors was around 140 days. And in 26, we are expecting it should come down to around 120 days.
Yeah.
All right. This answers.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Vishal Mehta from Oaklane Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to check what is the debt number as on date, and how do you plan to reduce this? Say maybe what is the deleveraging plan over the next 2-3 years?
So presently we are having two types of loans. One is term loan, which has been taken for indoor plant, and one is working capital requirement. Including both the loans, I can say today it is around 375 crores, and it may remain at same level at least for 27, and after 27 it will start come down. Because lot of working capital is required for whenever there is a sale jump over, there is a increasing the inventory as well as data. So instead of borrowing working capital from the bank. We are making it from internal accrual. Hence, we are not in a position to prepayment the repayment of prepayment the term loan. And we will start prepayment of the term loan from 28 onwards. So I think the loan will remain at 375, but till to March 27.
Got it. So, sir, depreciation interest would be at similar levels in Q3 for FY27 as well?
It is around 9. Today it is around 35 to 36 crores. I think it will going to remain in the same level in next year also.
And same is the case with depreciation as well, sir?
Yeah.
Everything is now in the business?
Yeah, everything is now.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shweta Shetty for closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team and we will be happy to address them separately. With that, we conclude today's call. Take care.
Thank you. On behalf of Gufic Biosciences Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.